I just am trying to make as much noise as possible. I just love playing music, no matter what instrument it's from. Just let me at it. I'm going to try to make noise out of it.
That's Zoe Roars. I'm Jamie Green. And this is Trading Force. Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of Trading Fours. I'm your host, Jamie Green. You know, a long time ago back in the 90s, Lenny Kravitz wrote a song called Rock and Roll is Dead. And I think a lot of people have been talking about rock and roll being dead for quite a long time, but I'm here to tell you, it's not dead. And today's guest is going to show you why. I've got Zoe Roars on the podcast today. Zoe Roars is 24 years old. Yes, that's right. She's about the same age as my marriage. But that's great, because that means there's a whole new generation that's embracing rock and great music. So it was so much fun to have her come and talk to me. But hey, before we get started, today's episode is sponsored by Our House KC. Our House KC is the perfect harmony of good beats, great eats, smoked meats, and local culture. Step out of your house into Our House KC. And just a little side note, I play there all the time. Myself and Matt Furman, our acoustic duo of Flatwater, we're up on that roof all the time. So come out, say hi. Maggie and her family are great. It's one of my favorite places to play in town. Okay. Well, you know what I'm going to say. Let's get started. Here's my conversation with Zoe Roars. All right, you ready to go?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Zoe, thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me.
You're like the second in-person person since COVID.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm honored.
Yeah, there for a while we had to do everything. Even if you were in town, you had to do it remote. So I think a good place to start is you like to make loud noise. That's what you say on your website. So,
oh, yeah.
So tell me what makes you like to make loud noise?
I just am trying to make as much noise as possible. I just love playing music, no matter what instrument it's from. Just let me at it. I'm going to try to make noise out of it.
That's great. So did you grow up here?
Yeah.
Born and raised?
Yep.
And I saw you started on clarinet?
Yeah, started on clarinet in about fourth or fifth grade. Played that all the way through middle school too, like at school and lessons and stuff. And then I think I just fell out because bad teachers can kind of taint everything. So then I just fell out and just kind of jammed on my own.
Yeah.
And fell into other instruments, and yeah.
There's so many people that are band nerds starting out.
In fact,
I just saw Chad Smith did a whole thing, from the Chili Peppers about Neil Peart, because Neil Peart's birthday was a couple days ago, and had all these pictures of him in his high school band, you know, like all these cool rock and rollers and these really dorky band uniforms, right?
Right.
So it's kind of that cool history. So that's cool. So I've been watching a little bit. You're doing these weekly web things. Like, how long have you been doing that?
Yeah, so I always try to just stream and be, like, on social media because I don't really have any gigs or shows even still planned out or anything. So I need to, like, keep active, like, say hey and stuff. So I always try to stream on Spoon and on Instagram and stuff like that.
So what's Spoon? I'm dating
Spoon
myself.
Is, like, this weird... It's like this streaming app, but it's just audio. So it's kind of like podcasts, but like straight live, and you can like interact with the chat and stuff.
Oh,
so like
cool.
I don't have to like get all dolled up. I can just like look like crap and jam and not really worry about what I look like.
Nothing wrong with
so
that.
That's
man.
Fun.
No, it's funny. I had a person on. She's a roots rocker, kind of a rockabilly person, and she was saying that, you know, because they were streaming every Monday, I think they're still doing it, and how it's like they've earned all these fans from like the Netherlands and all, you know, these crazy, right?
Yeah.
And they're from like upstate New York, so they're never going to find these people otherwise. So I guess that's the upside, right?
Right.
Are you in those kind of connections, like people checking in every week and you're like, know
yeah,
who these
from
people
like
are?
Spain and like all kinds of different places around the world. And I can even see it like in my, like on my streams too. I can see just like random places around the world. I'm like, oh, okay, Tokyo, show off. Like, let me see you, 15 streams. Like,
right.
So it's just really cool to like be able to connect with people like that, and I don't think I really reached out like that prior to like the pandemic and stuff. That really like made me kind of more active on social media and stuff, like more willing to like reach out and stuff.
Right. So what was life like before? Were you just playing? I've seen some clips of you. I saw you at Kilroy's place, at the old Roxy and some other.
Yeah.
So were you just doing that kind of thing, or what were you doing?
Yeah. Before the pandemic, I was always playing a show like about weekly. Usually, I don't know, like if it was a good month, weekly. Ever since I was probably 14.
Really?
Like, I just love playing live. It's just the best thing.
Yeah, there's nothing like it, right? That just that audience interaction. There's nothing like it, right?
Yeah, just the energy, the adrenaline, all of it.
So I'm guessing you're missing it.
Oh yeah, totally.
So is your trepidation just because the world's a sucky place and we've got COVID variants and people are still knuckleheads, or it's just that you're just not ready yet, or what's your reason?
So just trying to find like the right kind of gig, because I don't want to do like close quarters, like bring people out to like cram them into a room, and maybe not everybody's vaccinated or wearing their masks and stuff. So I just am trying to find gigs that are like spaced out, and then just getting the band together. Since COVID and stuff, everybody's had to like work even more and stuff, and that's affected like the hours of bandmates and stuff, so yeah. Flexibility of things.
So your standard band, who's all like, give me the breakdown, who's in it?
So it's my buddy David on drums, and he plays the drums on all of my recorded music. He is my go-to. He keeps me from rushing when I really want to rush.
Yeah.
So I love him, he's great. And then I got his brother on bass, which is, I think, just like always good to have like your rhythm section like related, like when they got that connection, it's just always that much tighter.
Yep.
And so it's just a three piece right now, just us jamming.
It's one less person to pay, so right. Always like, how did the big bands make any money? There's like 30 people in this big band, how can they make a dollar? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. And you're working on some new music.
Yeah, recording out at Avenue Records right now with Matt Richards. He's super cool. I just did my last song with him, Stuck Inside.
Which is the perfect song for COVID.
Right? Yeah, that was crazy how that just all kind of lined up. But yeah, so I'm super excited about these new songs, and they're going to sound really cool, and it's just really fun working with Matt. He gets the vibe.
That's great. So when's it coming out? Do you have an idea?
No dates just yet, but I need to go finish the vocals on one song, and then everybody's ready to be mixed and mastered. So that'll take like a month or two. I don't know.
Yeah, not too long. So I'm sorry, I'm going to sound like my father. I don't mean to, but I'm pretty excited that somebody in their 20s is playing rock and roll, because I just feel like rock and roll, you know, I was like, the biggest rock and roll band in the world is the Foo Fighters, and they're like my age, right?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of hip hop kind of killed most of it.
Yeah, like I feel like rap and country like are kind of like the dominant kind of genres right now for like stuff, but there is still like a really good like underground, not even underground, like kind of just like there is still like a scene, it's just not as signed on, like Willow Smith and like a lot of like, I don't know, there's like a new kind of spin on like emo kind of punk kind of music too. It's just kind of with a twist, and like Greta Van Fleet, like with a twist, with
yeah,
a
yeah.
sprinkle of zest or something, you know.
Sure.
So it's still like weaving through.
So you're growing up, who do you listen to, like who's like makes you want to pick up a guitar and sing, like who were your influences?
So I really love, like Amy Winehouse, Chris Cornell, like all kinds of grunge 80s, 90s kind of bands,
okay.
like the Melvins and Tad and Mudhoney and yeah. all those boys. And then of course all the girls like Babes in Toyland, Bikini Kill and like all that good stuff. And then I also really like, 70s kind of stuff. So I like Sabbath, but I also like, or I guess more 60s, like. Yeah, more 60s kind of stuff. Soul, like Otis Redding and Sam
yeah.
Cooke and
yeah.
all of that good kind of stuff. So
yeah,
it's just kind of everywhere.
You know, Otis Redding was only 26 when he died. It's just, it's hard to believe.
The sad, like the most tragic thing ever. Like my heart could cry about it for 1,000 years.
I know. It's just crazy because he put out so much great stuff.
So much.
For being that young.
So much in such a short time.
I know. It's just, yeah. You know, yeah, Otis is... You know, when I get real sad on a Sunday, I'll put an Otis record on, right?
I love me some Odie.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, all those guys. So, no, that's great. And Sam Cooke, it's another... You've got a lot of tragic people in your for your influence. And so, I mean, between Sam Cooke and Otis and Chris Cornell, man. So, talk to me a little bit about... So when you started playing guitar, was it right after clarinet? Did you take a little time and did you teach yourself or did you take lessons? How did you figure it out?
So I played clarinet and then about 11 or 12 or 13, I started learning piano, just like YouTube videos. My dad had a little keyboard that he wanted for Christmas and then he never set it up for like months. And So I was like, hey, Dad, can I like... set up your keyboard for you.
Right.
And I set it up in my room and it never left my room. And that was the end of that. Like, that was my keyboard.
Was he musical otherwise?
No.
So are you the only musical member of your family?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your brother's in the corner. He's nodding. So yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, it's funny because, you know, the coolest thing about this is how many episodes where it's like my dad was into it or my, you know, my brother was listening, you know, I took over stuff, and it's just kind of fun to see. You're like the, and there's nothing wrong with it, but you're kind of the outlier. It's almost everybody has that like musical background. You know, my dad was a jazz musician who taught music, and you know, music was ubiquitous in our house. It was always around.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's just kind of cool. My dad was, you know, way back, because I'm old enough to be your dad. So he was a big band guy, like Kerry James and Count Basie and Duke Ellington. And
that's awesome.
All that kind of stuff is what he loved. So he was 40 years older than me, so it was almost two generations.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he told me, he came down to the basement one time, and because Steve Ray Vaughan's why I picked up the guitar.
Nice.
And he said, if you play Voodoo Child one more time, I swear to God. I'm going to take your, because I was trying to figure it out because we didn't have YouTube, right? We didn't have any of that. We had to like physically put the needle down, try to figure it out. Couldn't slow it down.
Uh-uh.
Couldn't do anything and just try it over and like, okay, what's he doing? You know, one of those things. So YouTube's kind of cool that you can not only over and over again, but you can slow it down and keep the pitch. And
yeah, I honestly like, it blows my mind how people did like anything before YouTube. I feel like YouTube like taught me how to breathe. Like I learned everything from YouTube. Like, honestly, more than, like, any of my music teachers was from YouTube, just being alone with that computer screen and jamming it out.
So is that what you do on a Friday or Saturday night when the other kids are out, like, in the field getting drunk? You're, like, sitting at home and figuring things out, or?
Exactly, yep.
Yeah, I was always that nerdy kid, too. So you brought your guitar. This is 100% up to you, but if you want to play me something and kind of, it's up to you.
I would love to. All right. Yeah.
Forecast calls for a storm tonight, one we aren't prepared for. You're gripping me so tight as we hear someone come up the elevator. There's people conspiring down at the party. Can you drag his body to the pantry? I feel like Wendy from The Shining. I can't go outside, I'm stuck in hiding, running through the mazes that are my own thoughts. Didn't know that we could get this lost. Diseased with this cabin fever, anything to keep occupied. Why does he believe or say a word against mine? My vision saturated with confetti. Keep the drinks coming. Don't worry, Watson 217. It's time for the unmasking. I feel like Jack from The Shining. I can't go outside, I'm stuck in hiding, running through the mazes that are my own thoughts. Didn't know that we could get this lost. Said I feel like Jack from The Shining. Can't go outside. some kind of death call. They want our little Danny boy to red rum, red rum, quit being dumb. Red rum, red rum, will you succumb?
You get some pipes, girl.
Yeah, I was like, I hope I'm not.
No, no, that's why I was riding it. You're good. So, did you have voice lessons, or is that just all on your own? You figured out how to sing like that?
Yeah, so after playing piano for a bit, I finally got my dad to get me some lessons or whatever. And when I started taking piano lessons, every time I show up, I'd see these girls at the front of the store in this little cool room on a stage singing to their little vocal coach, and I'm like, oh, that looks so cool.
Right.
And so finally, like, after, like, a couple months of playing piano, I worked up the courage. I was like, Dad, can I try vocal lessons? And he was like, you want to sing? I was such a quiet kid. He's like, you want to sing? And I was like, yeah, I think I do. And so then I took vocal lessons for, I think, about 4 months and didn't sing once. I was way too nervous, but I was like, I'm gonna sing. And so finally, like, the like 4 month comes around, and I'm like, I finally sing something on the piano with my vocal coach, and it just spiraled from there. And I was like, okay, I love it. I'm not as afraid. Like, this is so much fun. I don't even care. Like,
yeah. So your dad must be pretty supportive.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. My parents are so supportive. The whole family.
That's great.
Yeah, it's very, very nice.
You know, because that doesn't always happen, right?
Mm-mm.
No.
So grateful for it.
Well, that's cool. And are they still here in town?
Yeah.
And they come out and see shows and do all that?
Never miss one.
That's pretty cool. That's really cool. So, with this album coming out, hopefully the world's going to get better, we hope, right? Where's some wood? Let's knock on it.
Yeah.
So, what's the plan? You know, I'm trying to think back when I was 24 years old, and I was like, God, that was so long ago. I was in Austin, Texas. And that music scene.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the early 90s was, you know, Ian Moore and the Ugly Americans. And, you know, Austin had this whole little vibe, too. So I'm curious, like, talk to me about what the music vibe is here for people in their 20s. And what and like, who you kind of like to watch and hang out with, and who inspires you, and who do you inspire? What's the scene like? I'm in bed by probably the time you guys go out, Zoe. So I'm probably not, you know, I don't know much.
Well, I haven't gone and seen too many shows, like I said, since, like, things have kind of started opening back up, but, I used to love playing and going to see, like, Chronic Lethargy and, they're not a band anymore, Crooked Sig, but those are my buddies. I really love their show. I saw them at Davies Uptown, like, right before the pandemic, right before it burned down. I think, yeah, that was the last show I saw there. So that was really good to see them. And then, of course, I love Jillian. She's great. But, yeah, I haven't really been out or, like, much on the scene. Just mostly, like, online kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah. And have you taken that as an advantage to kind of check people out from other parts of the country and world?
Yeah. I recently really got into a band called Void with two I's. And they're from Australia.
Okay.
They're four girls. The most badass chicks, and they write just like straight, like everything I aspire to be. They're hitting the mark. It is good, crunchy guitars, lots of good noise. I really like what they're cooking up.
That's great. So I'm asking this. So I, in my band, my 90s band, my bass player is female. And we still get people that are like kind of amazed, and we're like, well, who gives a shit? Like, she's a good player. She's on time. She can sing. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm hoping this is not still a deal for 20-year-olds that they don't, you know, there's any person who thinks that women can't rock. Have we please gotten past that stupidity?
No, we have not.
No, you still got guys that are like that kind of bullshit.
Yeah, that was pretty good for your girl. That was awesome. And I don't really listen to girl singers. I don't normally like girl singers.
That's just infuriating. I just want to go find who their parents are and smack them around. I mean, that's just terrible.
No etiquette.
I just don't understand. I'm guessing it's insecurity of themselves.
Probably.
Right? Because it's like, why in the world would you not? I mean, I've been a huge, like, Joni Mitchell is like, I think is arguably one of the greatest songwriters of the last 50 years.
Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, why would you not want to enjoy that? You know, like we were just talking that we saw Hart and Joan Jett. Like, it's badass, you know.
Yeah.
Especially the Hart, you know, those sisters, the Wilson sisters are just unbelievable. So just like, I don't get what, I don't know. There's some real knucklehead guys in the world.
Forever learning the intro of, is it Magic Man?
Oh, yeah.
The acoustic crazy.
No, she's great. Yeah.
Crazy.
No, she had that all. She had like one of the first Ovation guitars. That was like a big deal. And they still sound great.
That's awesome.
No, it's just, you know, in fact, I was just seeing, I was like, it was on Netflix. I'm not going to remember the name of it. Count Me In. Do you watch Netflix ever? So it's this whole documentary about different drummers.
Oh, cool.
And two of the drummers they feature were female, and they were talking about the same kind of crap. And the one actually sat in with Motley Crue for a while. I guess Tommy Lee was hurt or sick or something. All the stupid shit that she had to hear. And I was like, really? This is still a thing? I don't know. It just drives me up the wall. You know, my mom was a phys ed teacher. So I, like, you know, played catch with my mom and shot hoops with my mom. And that, you know, those kind of gender roles, like, that wasn't even a thing in my house in 1980. So I just can't, I don't know. I feel bad that you have to put up with it. It's just so stupid. I mean, good music is good music.
Yeah.
Period.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
It's, yeah, I don't know. I think it's just, they're threatened versus when they write a song about a girl. Now the girls are singing the songs. They're like, oh, no. Like, we can only write about you. You can't come up here. You can only be the muse. You can't be on stage.
Yeah. I don't get it. Well, that's cool. So, hang on, my thing keeps turning off. So, when you have, do you like to take people? I'm sorry, we have to preface it all before COVID. Like, were there certain places you like to go? Let's say, so we're going to say COVID, pre-COVID. Like, what were the kind of clubs you like to hang out? We talked about Davies. It's burnt to the ground.
Love Davies. Love Riot Room. Just Westport, you know, around that area.
So Westport was back in?
Yeah. All of the record stores, they always put on good little shows. Lots of great acts that I don't ever hear of or anything. I always go find them at the record stores. Always good shows there. The Roxy I used to go to a lot.
Isn't it sad how many places are gone?
Yeah, it's so weird. I'm like trying to think. I can't even like remember. Oh, Aftershock. Like, yeah. I used to play Aftershock all the time.
We like to do our Jim Kilroy impersonation sometimes.
All right.
Thunder Jacket, right? Hopefully Jim doesn't listen to the podcast, but... That's just, so for songwriting, was that early on? Did it take you a while to get the confidence to say, hey, I'm going to write a song? How did that all start for you?
Oh, man. For some reason, I just always did it. I was just like, I do it. I just do that. I just would write full, like, I don't know who taught me what a verse and what a chorus was. I just knew. I don't know. So I'd write, like, verses and choruses, and I'd just have, like, a full song, a sheet of lyrics, and I'm like, this is my song. And I would, like, sing it just to myself. Like, no instruments or anything. I'm like, this is my full song. And then once I started playing piano at 11 or 12, then I finally had something to, like, put music to. And so I was, like, stoked. And I just... Then I started writing bridges and, like, complete full songs. And I was like, this is so cool! Like...
Yeah.
Just always loved it.
Well, I think it's like working on a guitar itself. Like, songwriting's its craft and within itself that you have to put in the time and the effort. And, like, you know, nobody's going to write a great song the first song or maybe even the 10th song or the 20th song, right?
Or even the 1,000th song.
Right?
Yeah. I've got so many journals full of silly little terrible songs that I would never, ever touch in a billion years. But you got to get through all of those to get to the stuff you do want to use.
Right. And so are you a lyrics first person? It's kind of sounding that way, or is it? Does it depend?
Well, back when I didn't have an instrument, yeah, I would be lyrics, because I think mostly I consider myself like a singer songwriter. I really love to sing, really love to songwrite, and then like all the instruments are just kind of like my tools to get the song together, what I need to get everybody in place. So what was the question?
I was saying, is it a lyrics or a music thing first?
I think just melody. I get a melody, and whether it's guitar or for the vocal, I can't decide yet. It just depends. But it starts with a melody. I hear it first.
So then you put the chords underneath it that go with it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's very cool.
So I hear it, and then it tells me what vibe it is, and then I put the lyrics to it. So I always have lyrics and stuff, but not like structured, just phrases and stuff. And I sort through them and see what I am trying to tell with whatever melody I'm kind of hearing.
That's great. So I've been asking people this because I think it's really interesting. Say that I'm going to come over to your house and you're going to play me like five songs that I love, meaning five songs that you feel strongly about that you think are a perfectly crafted song. Do you have like some of those songs that you hear that you just said, oh my God, that's a great song?
Yes. Donny Hathaway's A Song For You. That is the best version. That is so good.
I'm so impressed that you know who Donny Hathaway is.
So good. Ah, goosebumps. Amazing.
Yeah, I've got his live album downstairs, so.
Oh, what's another one? Cigarettes and Coffee is a classic. That's just so good. Like, Otis Redding's, the way the, like, violins swirl up in it. Everything. My Melancholy Blues by Queen.
Okay.
Where it's just like piano and Freddie.
Yep.
Very nice. Very nice. That one's really, really good.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be five exactly, but I always like people who write songs, like, what do they like? What makes them?
Ooh, All Apologies by Nirvana. That one's just so good. Just the way they like fuzz everything out at the end and they just mumble the sentence till it doesn't even mean anything anymore. Yeah. So good.
Yeah, Butch Vig did that, all the production on that, right?
Yeah.
From Garbage, that guy. Have you seen any of those where he talks about,
I love listening to him. He's like, okay, you ready? And I'm like, whoa, my mind's blown. I'm like, that's so neat.
It's so funny because you think about, you know, it's been so long, but those guys were really young. Like, I think Dave Grohl would have been like 21, and I think Kurt would have been like 23, 24 maybe. Like,
yeah.
So you need a Butch Vig type guy that knows what's going on the other side of the glass.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm sure they're saying, hey, we want to do this, but they probably weren't, they didn't know how to get there.
Right. You got to find all the right puzzle pieces, all the right people to get that picture out. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Definitely.
Well, that's really cool. So I always ask, and this podcast, I have a lot of people that listen to it from India. Zoe, I don't know why. And I've asked them, I'd be like, hey, let me know. Why are you listening? They've never responded. So for people that are, I'm assuming, you know, people in India have not heard of you before. So what's the best way to follow you? I know you do a ton of social media because I've seen it. So what's like, they're wanting to know more about you or buy some merch from you or whatever. What's the best way for them to get to know you more?
I got my website, which is just zoeroars.online. ZOEROARZ. And then I got my Instagram and TikTok, which is also Zoe Roars. I don't have a Twitter, but yeah.
That's good. People just fight on Twitter.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, that's cool. But my older son is Mr. TikTok. Like, he's had one thing where he had like 2 million people. Dad! 2 million people! Why? Yeah. I'm like, okay. So I don't do the TikTok. Well, that's cool. It's very nice to meet you.
Yeah.
And I hope we get to come out and see you play live. And when the album's out, please let me know.
Yeah.
And you know, since, you know, you're talking about people like Jillian and some other people I've had on that are good people and stuff. So I'm not surprised that you were a lot of fun to talk to and super talented. So, you know, keep it up, man.
This was a blast.
Keep rock and roll alive, man. Somebody's got to. I'm getting too old to go out, Zoe. All right, Zoe. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Zoe Roars, everybody. Really appreciate that. And Eric Dover, see what you've done. You broke through. You were the first person to say, hey, play something else. Zoe Roars listened to that episode. And she said, hey, I want Black Hole Sun by Peter Frampton for the out. So guess what? You get Peter Frampton playing Black Hole Sun as the out. Down in the show notes, check out all the links to Zoe. And people, future guests, I'm letting you know. Zoe Roars came not only with a couple CDs and a couple wristbands. She gave me a really nice long sleeve t-shirt. So future guests, up your game, man. I want some swag. I'm not making any money off this, so swag's nice. So Zoe, thanks so much. Hey, that's it for this time. But next time, we're going out to Los Angeles, California to talk to a Brit, Warren Hewitt, who is the founder of Produce Like a Pro. Warren has worked on lots of albums that have sold tons, platinum albums, gold albums, you name it. He does this really cool web series, and he's really nice and a really good guy, and we had a lot of fun. So that's 1 week from today. Until then, go out, support live music, and we'll talk real soon. Bye-bye.